from Churchill Downs. A very good and, again, soggy morning, race fans. An absolute torrent again this morning, and it'll certainly knock the turf racing, and just three turf races here today. It'll certainly take those off, and I'm sure they would have loved to have run the stake today, the opening verse on the grass, but I don't see that happening. So Saratoga 2, the lousy weather moving out. Now, the good news is once this thing passes, we're free and clear for Oaks and Derby tomorrow and Saturday. Series 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, stevebick.com. And a bit of a frustrating scenario this morning because, and I'm sure the horsemen, anybody that wanted to, you know, do a flurry, get a little, you know, a little blast out and a little air into the lungs for their charges, not just for Derby and Oaks. Obviously we focus on that as we do every year, but you got another, 13, 14 stakes Friday and Saturday. So countless stake horses, and they're out there, and you can't, obviously you can't watch or even identify everybody when it comes to those that come out. I mean, certain horses you can kind of indicate, and you got the spotters on the walkie talkies, kind of talking up from track level and up to the camera operators. So occasionally, you see certain horses, and we haven't had as many. There hasn't really been as many of that, and with only the week to manage things, it really hasn't had the same. The same opportunity to kind of find a Tepin or any of the Toinette or any of the undercard sparklers that emerge. But if you're doing the handicapping exercise, as we did yesterday with Nick, looking into Friday, and now that you've had 24 hours to review the Saturday card, you probably have some better ideas. And Nick will be back hour three again this morning, and we'll go through Saturday with him. And a little bit wider contention, it seems, upon closer inspection. Particularly the Turf Classic, and I think that's going to end up being a good conversation point for the handicapping portion here the next 2 days, because the Oaks and the Derby side of the pick three, the Oaks and Turf Classic and Derby pick three. There's also going to be the $2 two-day pick six, and I'm expecting Gary Palmisano Jr. to swing through here this morning, and we were going to go through the betting menu and get a feel for some of the changes, and there is certainly one change that I think you would think people would applaud. This is kind of a superfecta hint, but not everybody applauds the small minimum, the 10-cent minimum superfecta, because there's plenty of people that appreciate and approach the dollar superfecta that traditionally has been, a source of frustration when it came to Derby Oaks weekend. This harkens back to the story of the original 10-cent super minimum and the disenfranchised superfecta players that liked the higher minimum and saw value siphoned out of the pays, out of the payouts. And that was actually the origin of the super high five, came out of focus group conversations with players at Santa Anita years ago. And the superfecta player said, you've killed our superfecta for a dollar, and the structure of you know, multi-layer, you know, the horses in the wind position, second, third, spreading out, you know, at the bottom of a superfecta tier. And they said, you've siphoned all the value out with people, you know, playing 10-cent supers. And so that's why the super high five was created with the carryover provision as well. So there you go. I think I've told that before. And Aaron Vercruzzi was, right? Was that, that's the apocryphal tale. Aaron instrumental in its origin. The rest of the menu we'll get into. And I'm not sure myself yet. I didn't look back again yesterday or this morning for the final decision on which of the races from Friday and Saturday are part of that $2 pick six. I think last year it was two on Friday, right? And four on, it wasn't three and three. I'm pretty sure it was two and four. So well, anyway, we'll get to that. We'll get all the other germane support information as we get through the morning and get you set for tomorrow and Saturday. We also, of course, have an eye on everything else going on at all the other venues. And that is going to be considerable all the way to Monday. If you didn't get a chance yet to take a look at what they put together at Kentucky Downs for Monday, that is going to, it's going to make your eyes pop out of your head. Just incredible. Four stakes to get things going, plus maiden races. Amazing. The two juvenile filly, turf events, obviously turf, all turf, but 12 in the juvenile fillies and 12 in the One Dreamer, 10 in the boys race, the More Than Ready, and then the $750,000 tourist mile, a dozen in there, and every single race with big contentious fields. We'll talk to Hammer tomorrow, and we'll get a little bit of Kentucky Downs flavor, but the I talked to Hammer last night, and he said, you know, at first the phones were kind of slow to ring, and then all of a sudden there was an onslaught, and the entry boxes filled right up. They'll also draw the second card today. So getting going for Kentucky Downs next week. There's also plenty of people looking ahead to the sales side of things. We'll talk about that when we get home and as we do the recapping. And I mean, it is going to be a intense few weeks. Speaking of other venues, news came yesterday from the Maryland Jockey Club, and kind of as anticipated, no patrons for Preakness, and it doesn't come as a surprise. And now, of course, everybody turning their attention and their query toward Breeders' Cup, and people still holding out hope that there could be some attendance possible. Sal Sinatra mentioning yesterday as part of the announcement, they have not made determinations about how to handle ownership and what's going to happen there. So some decisions yet to be made when it comes to Preakness 4 weeks from Saturday. So if you didn't happen to, see that, FYI, got that into you. And, you know, then there's everything else, Saratoga and Del Mar. Del Mar will draw their Sunday card. And they already had Saturday. The John Maybe is the stake. There's some maiden activity, of course. Saratoga yesterday, the draw that brings together a really strong Saturday, closing Saturday. They're off the turf. I mentioned at Saratoga again yesterday, got kind of torn up. I'll go over some results in a second, including a great job by Seth yesterday with who was it, Evaluator? That was okay. And we'll also talk about the Indiana result too. I want to get into that before Dick Powell joins us. Give you a quick lineup glance, and Dick in about 5 minutes will join us. I'll have Ed DeRosa and James Scully here. And I still owe Scott. I wanted to get Scott Shapiro in. And Scott is apparently doing an interview with Moisey Alou. which is kind of cool. And by the way, speaking of, since Moise Alou's name came up, all of us that grew up on Long Island or in the New York metropolitan area, the Met fan community just so saddened by the news of the passing of Tom Terrific, Tom Seaver, the absolute golden boy, the franchise, so much of, Met lore and baseball history, in fact, passes through Seaver, and the outpouring last night, and Seaver has been so sick and have struggled. And so in a lot of ways, I think it's probably a relief for the family, but still I think everybody feels a little older when that news circulated early last night, and 75. And that's what struck me, actually. And in fact, with these last, 8-10 years or so, with the news of Seaver's illness and the reporting of his age, it seemed so strange that he was only, personally 15 years older, and growing up as a kid, and you think about 69 and that era. And it doesn't occur to you when you're 10, 11 years old that that these heroes are that you you love and who, the cards you're collecting and games you go to and are so excited. It's really not that much older than you. And I was struck by that, actually. And I just, a lot of us, a bunch of us were texting back and forth. My friend Mike Melody, Seaver, his favorite, I've seen a lot of notations, favorite athlete of all time for so many people. And I'll tell you something funny. An oddity. My dad and I, we would know that we were going to go. My grandfather used to get us tickets too. I've mentioned this, that my grandfather had access. The men's clothing store in Great Neck, Harold's. And so we could go pretty regularly. And you try to coordinate so you get to see Seaver. That was it was a big deal. And for the longest time, whenever we would go, he wouldn't win. Whenever we saw him pitch, I think eventually we saw him win. I just remember more that he wouldn't win when we would go. The guy that would win when we went was Jerry Kuzman. Kuzman seemed to win. And Jim McAndrew. I remember a doubleheader where McAndrew, in fact, they may have pitched both ends, Kuzman and McAndrew. I wish I had those box scores, those cards, the scorecards. I used to keep the scorecards. But, Tom Seaver's passing last night, I think shook up a lot of people. Of course, his trade from the Mets to the Reds. That's one of those days if you were a Met fan. Anyway, I don't even know how I got off in that direction. Scott Shapiro interviewing Moise Alou, apparently. So we'll have Ed and James. We'll touch base with Tony. I want to get a couple of since Rich Migliore's been very tough. He's doing the Fox shows. So it's been impossible to get a hold of Rich this week. He was driving, actually, up on the Taconic the other day, and it just wasn't going to work. So I want to get some perspective from Tony on what's going to happen outside the, when the gates open, and how, particularly the four horses we keep coming back to in the outside gates, and how Manny Franco deals with it. There's been some further discussion about the pace scenario and who else from the interior part of the gate might be part of the pace. Storm the court, is getting, plenty of interest as, part of that pace. And maybe, even a little bit more. Ed brought him up the other day on that post draw, handicapping chat we did. And, you know, and you know, I've been saying right along, been kind of defending him, going turf to dirt. And Peter Ertin, they didn't have to come. They didn't have to come. And, you know, you don't want to necessarily dirty up a horse like him. I don't know. He's one of those, you know, middle big price horses that, you know, there's some quality about, and, you know, you try to figure out if they're worth including in some way, shape, or form. That's part of, you know, the deciding elements that these next, you know, 24 hours plus will produce. And, you know, some of this, don't forget, you have to make some decisions. If you're playing the Oaks Derby Double, you're going to have to make your decisions for tomorrow, right? It's not just for Saturday. And the same thing with the pick three. And by the way, speaking of Oaks Derby Double and pick three, I've been in touch with Satish, and we will have get a Satish visit in the traditional the traditional Satish Sinan Derby play and an Oaks Derby Double and Oaks Turf Classic pick three. All right. So those of you, I've already had a couple of inquiries. Of course, Satish is gonna. We're gonna visit. the question is, of course, how many expletives has Vegas set a line? I'm gonna set it at 2.5. I love it. Ron Anderson, we're gonna talk to. It occurred to me that with Joel Rosario staying in New York, that it'd be fun to have Ron give us a few opinions, because of course he was monitoring horses and, you know, potentially coming here with Joel before the decision was made to finish up the season at the Spa. So Ron Anderson will give us some opinions. I told you about Nick again. Day two, and Rich Ang. We'll get Rich before we wrap up today. And Darren, I'm not going to keep promising a Darren Rogers invocation visit. he's in constant. You'd be amazed. I mean, the constant meetings going on here is quite something. And you know, he has to coordinate. Any changes, you know, they've been adjusting, you know, the policies and the entry and the egress and all of the elements that are going into this, and dealing with, of course, with the network. And, you know, Darren's got to pass all that along in his communications role. So it's been in some ways, I think Darren has even been busier now this week with only 20% of the actual, you know, media attendance than he is under, you know, more typical Derby scenarios. So I hope we can get, at the very least, I'll get KK in here, Kevin Kirstein, before we are joined by Dick Powell. And, you know, as if there hasn't been enough to get excited about for the weekend, it's also the start of the season at Hong Kong. They will open the season on Sunday morning, 1 a.m. and Eastern. And so we'll kick off the Hong Kong when Dick joins us momentarily. Let's talk quickly about yesterday, Churchill, Saratoga, and Indiana. Get Indiana out of the way first, because we, boy, took a swing and had some good ideas. I do want you to make a note about that maiden race. And Cherie DeVoe's Firster ran well with trouble. Absolutely got stopped cold and had to re-engage under Declan Carroll, and took money, actually. Went off as the second choice. Went off a little over 2-1. Minetta. And not only was there trouble for Minetta, but that Tankerette, the Jack Sisterson Calumet, this horse has now had issues in both career starts. Was that the debut or the second? I think that was the second start. And he's going to, she's going to be dirtied up in a big way when you see those PPs. So Tankerette, who was 16-1 already and is, you know, was beaten 20 lengths. And so going to be absolutely shrugged off. That Nivelle Squall, by the way, if you haven't latched on to Bill Downs and his opinions at Indiana, you're making a mistake. Just like we've have said with this Brian Aragone at Canterbury, does a spectacular job. Bill Downs is doing this single horse best bet and his tops, you know, top selections, and he fleshes them out in the, you know, in the prattle, the preview. He was all over this Nivelle Squall of John Ortiz and the Randall Family Trust, a homebred of theirs, another first out winner for Violence, Hill and Dale, and Violence, who's having just a spectacular, spectacular year. Going into this race, Violence has been hitting at 19% with his first time starters. And that's a gaudy number. That is a monstrously gaudy number, because good sires, maybe 14% first out, 19% into this race. And here's another one. And that's with 268 now first-time starters for Violence. Manny Esquivel at almost 9-1. And this actually was an okay result, because I keyed and bet Mineta up and down. And so that wasn't bad. A nice little pop. It was a $75 exacta. Then came the pick five, and I was excited for this. And I didn't put a big ticket together. And I got things going. That Betcha, who looked like a wire threat in the first stake, in the Philly stake, Betcha for Gennaro Garcia. And sure enough, was able to hold off Elusive Justice. And, you know, certainly for the pick five, if Elusive Justice wins that photo at 8-1, that pick five probably pays maybe $1,500. It paid $400 and change. But if Elusive Justice wins that, you then had Unbridled Beast just win off and was really tough for Randy Matthews and his partner Michael Nefus. So that was, you know, pretty formful. There were really two horses to use. Cash Logistics came running late. And then came one of the upsets that was a little tricky, and that was Double Tough, who had been away since November. This came in the William Henry Harrison, and Double Tough was really strong in here. Kim Hammond, boy, oh, boy. And, you know, this horse was bred by Gary Sims, and I'm going to assume it's the Gary Sims we all know from around here, a Skylord 7-year-old gelding, Jesus Castanon aboard. And this is a horse that was claimed in his last start as a 6-year-old and comes back off this layoff and was absolutely terrific. And the even money favorite had absolutely no resistance. And Operation Stevie was just, you know, late arriving, the Contreras. So Double Tough paid $11, and that kind of threw things. And then came the big upset, and I don't know what you're supposed to say here. 2-5, Unbridled Class, and I don't really – there's no excuse in here for the Bernie Flint runner. And Expect Indy was too late launching a bid. And in the meantime, Pretty Assets and Deshaun Parker – for Gary Patrick, this is a horse that Patrick bred. This was the Shelby County. Congratulations to Patrick. He bred this Cayman Filly out of an Eddington mare. He owns, he trains, he bred. So the big upset, almost 15-1, and 13 ended up paying 31.60. And then you had the two obvious. Classical Magic, 6-5 for Tim Eggleston to win the nightcap for breeder Nancy Winchell, a Magician Filly. This was on the turf. This was that 10 claimer, and it was a good field, but classical magic under Sammy Bermudez can ride a little, huh? I mean, got to watch him a lot this summer. He's okay. And that closed things out. So the pick five, the pick four paid $429. The pick five, $4,038. And as I said, if you'd had the 8-1 shot, win the opening leg, win that photo, Elusive Justice, this thing, I don't know, would have paid triple, at least triple that. So fun day in Indiana and had some decent ideas, but kind of came away a little miffed. I didn't, a little, some structured decisions and, you know, had the horses, had them all somewhere. Here at Churchill, certainly a notable, there were a couple of different notable things that transpired, and we also talk about Saratoga. But yesterday, even off the turf and, you know, with the track, you know, the track here, of course, dries very quickly. So you had a decent track to deal with. And off the turf, early mid-card, Arabian Prince, firster for West Point, and Bill Sandbrook for Dallas, and this with Joe Talamo, and an easy winner at 12-1. Nice debut. Ain't No Elmers, the bizarrely named Brett Calhoun, Golden Sense Philly, pretty much almost wire to wire, and you know, beat the entry, the even money entry. 6-1 you got on Ain't No Elmers with Pachiza. And how about Steve Margolis? Margolis has got some horses this weekend. He's got a couple of interesting horses that look okay. Ebon for J.S. Stables, a Hinkle Farm bred trap shot gelding, 10-1. So I mean, there was plenty of nice mutuals. And then in the stake that came off the turf, congratulations to Jim Gulick and Ambassador Luna, another price, $17. And the unfortunate occurrence in here was break even for our friends the Kleins and the Brethren Philly, and you know, who started her career so smashingly. She bled in here and has been retired immediately by the Kleins. So and it's got to be hard as well for Richard, because co-bred break even with his late father, the Country Day Philly break even, but she'll be a broodmare for their operation, and he won't be going to Family Sire Country Day though. She won't be. they'll look elsewhere. It was kind of watching the action yesterday as we were handicapping. And then Saratoga, I want to slip it in too. And then Dick Powell's going to join us. I can reach out to Dick. And the big story, you know, on a wet day and with you know, the races off the turf, the debut of Nashville. Holy cow. The China Horse Club Windstar Spitestown colt. He could have won by 20. This was something. And, you know, he was 2-5 and all. We understand. Yeah, I get it. But, I mean, this was some debut. 91 buyer and 6.5 furlongs, you know, which is a funny distance. But boy, oh boy, the way he did this, Nashville, a major, emergent two-year-old, got to get back to Evaluator that I brought up with Seth's pick yesterday. Good job by Seth. And somehow Evaluator ended up going off at 5-1. Was terrific. Just blew this thing apart. Length of the stretch, $12 in a 5-horse field. Nice work. Nice work by Seth, who said as an alternate to the favorite, Control Group ended up kind of a meek third. And with the anticipation came off the turf, which is too bad. But for the Wyckoffs, ended up being a pretty good situation and a good result. Came in as a maiden, This is a declaration of war colt out of a kitten's joy. So this thing's got turf all over it. And yet, off the turf, going 7/8, fire at will, wins the with anticipation. So that was Saratoga, Churchill, and Indiana yesterday. All right, get that off the docket, and we'll turn Dick Powell, who joins us. Yeah, absolutely, Case. Go ahead. Grab Dick, and we'll take Dick, and I've got to answer a couple of people here, including Gary Palmisano. And let's see, noon, and I'll say how I'll get him on. He'll be on after Nick. All right, so we'll go over the there we go. All right, done. That's taken care of. What else do we have here before we get going? I gave you the Preakness news. Oh, you know what? Let me get this in because I've put it off for days. And there were two passings over the weekend and the beginning part of the week. Juro Maksimovic, who was an absolute institution on the backstretch, a fascinating individual that came to the United States as an artist and for art school, and was captivated by the racetrack. He was a very talented artist and sculptor. And he worked for a whole bunch of people, Steve Penrod, and in fact, talked to Don Winfrey about him. And it's kind of funny, Pete Vestal, the other morning we were talking about him, and he, Pete Vestal said, slowest groom in history, known for being incredibly meticulous with the horse and just being so careful and not a hair out of place. And as a result, it would take him forever, you know, you couldn't give him four or five horses to rub. Don Winfrey said, if you were in the fifth race, you would tell, they would tell Max, we're in the third, because if you didn't do that, he wouldn't have the horse ready in time. It's just too funny and sweet. There was really some wonderfully nice things written and said about Juro. And he seemed to be known, I mean, New England. He spent time in Boston and at Suffolk and at The Rock and, you know, then here and, you know, throughout the Kentucky circuit as well. And while we're on the topic of Boston horsemen, Charlie Carey passed away, and this apparently took a lot of people by surprise, although word had gotten around that he was sick during the summer, literally over the last 2 months. I mean, they literally makes you think of Dominic Galluzio to an extent, because they basically, you know, came in, they looked at him and said, you're just filled with cancer, and he was gone in really a very short period of time. And you know, one of these guys that you'd see in the program for years, forever in New England, and you know, never really had many big horses, but you know, always had, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 horses at any one time. So hearts go out to family and backstretch friends of Juro Maksimovic and Charlie Carey. And I also wanted to mention the other day, and I blew it. I forgot to do it. I guess this was on, must have been on Tuesday. It was John Parasella's birthday, the trainer to the stars. And Parasella's got a book out that we should give a little plug to. Dick Powell joins us now. Dick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Dick,
another day off the turf up here, which was kind of shocking. Yesterday surprised me, because I must have slept through that heavy rain, because when I get up, it was hardly doing anything. So off the turf again today, and life goes on.
Yeah, and today's tough because there were six turf races scheduled out of 10. Yep. Here there's three coming off. So at Saratoga, it'll carve things up again, but then hopefully we'll be in good shape ideally for the rest of the meet, the last 10% of the season. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Dick, we've got quite a bit to talk about. And, of course, in addition to everything else, closing weekend at the Spa and at Del Mar and Derby Oaks weekend here, there's also the opening of the Hong Kong season. And early Sunday morning, we kick it off, the 2021 season.
Yeah, we got the 10 turf races at Sha Tin, beginning at 1 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. West Coast Time. And just to go over some of the general things with Hong Kong racing that we've covered in detail in the past. Average win price, $19, which is extraordinarily high. If you like to bet the place, which in their place goes down three places, it's more like our show. That averages over $6, which is, you know, pretty good. Average Quinella, $90. Average Quinella Place, where you box the three, it doesn't matter which order they come in, $31. And for the dollar tries, what they call a tierce, the average was $4,100. Mm. So there's obviously big payouts. On an everyday basis, not just on an anecdotal basis, at Hong Kong. Now, they are adding an exacta this year. So if you like to play exacted, which I like to do because I like to bet to win, and then I like to use the exacted to kind of protect the win bet, that should be right up my alley. So that's a new feature. Purses have gone up from last year, so that's a good sign of strength. And the field sizes continue to maintain. Now, when you think Hong Kong, you got to think three different courses. Sha Tin Turf, which is what we're going to get early Sunday morning. Most formful of the three, 32% winning favorites, $16.85 average win price. And remember, Sha Tin is able to handle 14 horses in the starting gate, so their average field size is 12.76. Sha Tin All-Weather, which they ran 94 races last year in the Sha Tin All-Weather compared to 418 in the Sha Tin Turf. That's a little more chaotic in the sense that the average win price was $21.90, and the win percentage of favorites drops down to 27.66. Now we go over to Happy Valley, which is usually Wednesday, early Wednesday morning, East Coast time. And Happy Valley has an average field size of 11.69 because they only get 12 in the gate there because it's an hour course. $20.42 average win price. And here's the key, 24% winning favorites. So we drop down from 32% Sha Tin Turf to 24% Happy Valley Turf. And a lot of that is due to the tighter nature of the course. It's a shorter stretch. The stretch is maybe 330 meters. Sha Tin's probably 440, 450 meters. So the Sha Tin horses have time to kind of get their legs under them when they turn for home and make that long run to the wire. Where Sha Tin, they come out of the turn, and you better be in good position. Zach Purton dominates Happy Valley. He was the leading rider last year. He beat Joe Moreira by 7 or 8. And he has there's a big discrepancy in how well he does at Happy Valley. So his horses just fit perfectly at Happy Valley. So we'll get to see them next Wednesday morning when the racing returns. Now, most Hong Kong races are handicap races, and they all get split up into five classes of races. The lower class is Class 5. These are horses rated 0 to 40. The track handicap rates every horse that's on the grounds. And they start out relatively low. If they do well, they move up. Well, 0 to 40, only 16% favorites win these races. So part of it is their horses' form is not, you know, if they were really good horses, they might have more consistent form. Their form seems to be inconsistent, and that's where you can get some big, big prices in the Class 5. Class 4 is the most popular class in terms of the amount of races they run, and They are about average, $18 win price average and 30% winning favorites. Class 3 moves up to 60 to 80 rated horses. So these are starting to get to be some quality type horses. And it's kind of similar, $18 win average, 30% win percentage average for favorites. Now when you get higher up, Class 2 has a little bit of anomaly here because the win average goes up to 19.48 and the win percentage of favorites drops down to 26. Usually the higher class horses tend to be more formful. But that's probably, there were 76 races last year, so it's a big sample. But in the Class 1 or the stake races, there we have 37% winning favorites and $14 average win price. Field size drops down to 9.35, goes to big stake races, don't always get full fields. So you can see where, if you're shopping for value, you're looking at Happy Valley, and you're looking at Class 5 races at either track. If you're looking for form, you're looking at Sha Tin Turf, and you're looking at Class 1 type horses, which they don't run that many races in Class 1, but those horses tend to be very formful. Now, how are you going to remember all this? Well, clearly you're not. So the Daily Racing Form has put out a Hong Kong betting guide that you can find free of charge. And all this data, including some great analysis by Marcus Hirsch, is all in there. It's laid out really nice that you can follow it very easily. It's all been updated through the end of last year. And that's a great thing to just read, kind of, you know, get into your mind in terms of keeping a context when you look at this year's races and kind of have a comparison to what usually works or where you can expect certain things. So that guide is available, and it's very well done and easy to read. And we'll be updating different topics during the season in the Racing Form Hong Kong section.
Excellent. And I'm going to put it on Twitter as well, but I put the links up at my website at Derby Trail. And there, you know, there's the international page, and then there's a Hong Kong specific page, drf.com/HK, and the PPs, and a lot of this will continue to be updated and provide everybody with, you know, virtually everything you can use to help you, including, you know, I mean, obviously, Dick, you know, we talk about your analysis, but there's also, you know, further write-ups as well. And then there's Marcus's coverage. Marcus, you know, certain weeks it's more intense, you know, based on his schedule than others, but there is really just a increasing amount of quality information and support to help you with Hong Kong.
Yeah, it's you know, I took 6 weeks off. I got back into it to help update the guide, and now that the form guide is out for Sunday, and then I look at these races and it's like 14 horse fields. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah.
as if we didn't have enough, right? As if we didn't have enough to be looking at.
Yeah, between that and the job Ben Huffman did at Churchill for their opening week, and gigantic fields there. So yeah, it's a lot of horses, but it's a lot of fun. And if you're right, it's a big reward. That's the thing with the Hong Kong races. You don't have to be right a lot. And it's frustrating with big fields. You know, you can have the best horse and not get the trip or whatever. But with $19 average win price, you don't have to be right that often. And the Quinellas work very well as preserving your value, and they're very popular over there. I mean, we want to be like them in terms of the final result. You know, do $150 million a day and handle. But 52% of their betting is win place and Quinella. It's not the gimmicks that we all are into. So yes, the gimmicks are big there, but the percentage of handle are in those first four categories, and rightfully so, because the payouts are there.
Well, and
when we get to Happy Valley and things like that, we'll be a little more Happy Valley specific, and then to make myself, you know, Mitch Levitis, right?
Sure.
And well, once Mitch was in a meeting with me, and I had done something similar to this. This is probably 20 years ago, and I had all this data and everything. And Mitch said, "This is a cry for help," as only Mitch could say, and he's probably right. But I did also in this the betting guide that can be found in DRF is I took the five classes. And then, besides breaking down what I just did, I'm not going to read all this. This is something you got to look at yourself. But I took like class five. Who were the leading trainers in class five? Who were the leading trainers in class four? Who were the leading jockeys? And I have each of the five classes laid out so that you can see. Well, these trainers tend to, you know, it'd be like a trainer that does well in mid-level claimers but doesn't necessarily win stake races. Well, this is laid out for you, and it gives you a good idea of where the meat of the racing is, basically class four and class three. And then you're going to see Ricky Yu and Francis Loy and, you know, people like that tend to dominate those races. So, yes, it is a cry for help.
Dick, I will obviously, as we wade into the season, I want to pick out sections of the form guide for explanation and elaboration to help people understand. I mean, because there's so much good info, and you know we've touched on it, you know, off and on, you know, some of the elements. So we're not going to do it today, but as we get the season going, we're going to help people. You know, we'll cut out a section. I'll put it up on Twitter, etc., and you can elaborate on, you know, on what information is available that a lot of times, you know, they wouldn't know. It's a little overwhelming at first glance, but we want people to, you know, take an interest and try, because as we laid out, you know, last year, and especially with Tommy Massis's unbelievable seven-figure pick six hit, this is time well spent. And particularly if you're somebody that is a night owl. I mean, let's be honest, you have to be focused, and you have to, you know, look to, you know, the evening hours, the late morning, early morning hours and late morning hours. But if that suits your lifestyle, you're going to really enjoy this. And once you get a handle on it, you're going to score. And if you're somebody that works at the craft, so.
And backed up by tremendous video, video with various angles. They even have one thing where they just show the horses hit the wire and how they gallop out. They keep a big wide pan shot and see how everyone finished the race, and it's just like virtually anything you want is there. Once you learn the website better, which will, you know, you and I will help, then you can find what you want, and it's almost never ending. So couple picks for this weekend.
Sure.
Sunday is a 90-plus handicap. This is the HKSAR Chiefs Executives Cup. They're going to go 1,200 meters, 6 furlongs. I'm going with the highway, number one wishful thing. It's kind of an unusual race because some of these horses are turning back in distance. It almost has prep race written all over them. Horses need a place to get started, and most of the Hong Kong trainers race their horses into shape. They don't bring horses in off big long layoffs for big races. So I went with number one, Wishful Thinking. Dennis, you've trained Zach Purton, right? He's the high weight at 133 pounds, but he draws well. And I think at 6 furlongs on this course and all that, he'll do very, very well. And the other pick will be in race 9. This is a 60-80 class 3. Number 4, Excellent Proposal, only has one start in Hong Kong, as you can see, on July 1st, but he had raced extremely well in Australia. So he's coming in, making a second start for John Seitz and Joe Moreira. He ran very well in his Hong Kong debut last time out, going 6 furlongs in fast time. He comes back at 7, which should not be a problem, draws well from post 6. He just seems to have all the ingredients, so. Race 8, we like the 1. Race 9, we like the 4.
Excellent. Excellent. Dick, got a few minutes. We got up to, James Scully and Ed DeRosa going to join us momentarily. Let's get just a couple of thoughts from you for Derby Oaks. And, you know, your complete analysis, I already see that it's up and available at BrizNet. And, you know, you and Rich Eng, Gus Alonzo, you know, all with the analysis packages and more. There's also the Thomas Herding concept that Kerry Thomas does and Pete Dank. There's a tremendous, in fact, Ed, and I'm sure Ed and James will elaborate on all the BrizNet and Twin Spires handicapping materials. So I'm not going to press you for Oaks and Derby opinions because people aren't paying for it. But give us just, you know, a feel for, you know, your thoughts going into tomorrow and Saturday. Maybe we could go over the Turf Classic maybe as an outlier to help people build their pick three ticket.
Well, I don't find the races to be very deep. I think the Oaks is a four horse race, the Derby five, maybe six. You know, the whole concept of value is going to be hard because Tis the Law, especially with our collector coming out of the race. I mean, Tis the Law is, by any analysis, I don't care how you analyze races, Tis the Law comes out on top, especially winning a grade one going a mile and a quarter. So he's already answered that question where some of these other horses have not. So I look at the race as Knox. I have Knox against Authentic. I have Knox against New York Traffic. I did not like Honor AP 7 furlong workout at Del Mar. I know other people had a totally different opinion. I thought Mike had to use hands and heels to get him to do what he did, and even that wasn't that impressive. I know you don't want a big workout a week before, but even his last workout wasn't that fast. I know he has stamina. I know he'll get the mile and a quarter. I just don't know if he's quick enough. So I had to knock on him. Two of the horses in the Derby that I think represent value, obviously King Guillermo, and he's in danger of becoming the wise guy horse. You know?
Well, let me interject. I've been holding off on bringing this up because he missed training this morning, and Avia is going to advise by late this afternoon what his status is. So there's a little there's a big cloud right now over King Guillermo. He says it's a minor thing, but he said they're going to monitor it all day, and we'll have an answer apparently by the time racing wraps up here today, so everybody can kind of watch. So I think, you know, this is one of those things that Johnny D used to say, there can't be a hiccup, and this feels like a hiccup for King Guillermo, as if there weren't already plenty of question marks about a horse coming in off of a four-month layoff.
Yeah. All right, well, that's too bad for his connection. I feel bad for them. They've had this plan, and everything seemed to have gone well, and then something happens. The other horse that's kind of under the radar that would not surprise me to get into the gimmicks, I don't see him as a win threat, is Soleil Volante. And I think when Bian Cone sticks to the training on turf, running on dirt, and his last couple of turf workouts at Palmetto's 57. Come on.
It's crazy.
It's just spectacular. And, you know, Patrick is that good a horseman to pull it off. So I think he'll have him ready for the big day. Some of the others, I just question if they're going to get 10 furlongs and the nice 9 furlong horses. I don't buy the Baffert thing about the horse Authentic losing focus. And he was slowing down, and New York Traffic was slowing down a little bit less and making up some ground.
Yeah, I don't disagree on that front, and I think there's a very narrow band and approach. It's just a question of who, you know, particularly the horses from off the pace. I mean, you know, who comes running late to, you know, to fill out those exotics as your reference. And for me, I know Enforceable is going to be, you know, going to be one of those that I, you know, kind of key in, you know, in the underneath slots, the proverbial back wheel, you know, reverse tri key concept.
Yeah, there's lots of wagering options, and remember this, that there are 27 races from Friday into the Derby, Derby being the 27th. Please don't tap out before the Derby. Try to manage your money a little bit.
Yep.
I don't want to hear horror stories about, oh, I had a cold and I had a bad beating.
Well, that's the worst. This is the old keep your powder dry. And, yeah, I'm glad you said that, Dick, because it's something that typically, again, when I have 2 weeks here, it's a little different than what this has been. And that's something we really try to drive home. I mean, that you've got features and late pick fours, late pick five, and you've got the races you've been anticipating the most, and you don't want to put a dent in the fender before you get to the spot where you're going to drive it home.
And it's a balance in that, because at the same time, you don't want to let something go by and pass up something that would have really enhanced your bankroll. So it's a balance in that, but just keep the Derby money kind of separate and keep your other money for the other races, then I think you'll be okay.
Dick Powell, everybody, and the Hong Kong Jockey Club season gets started 1 a.m. on Sunday morning. And just enough of an interlude past Derby Oaks and before Sunday, Monday. At Del Mar, Saratoga, and then Kentucky Downs. It's an embarrassment of riches. The 96 hours like we've never seen.
And good for horse racing. You know, it's been kind of an odd year as it's been for everybody. But here we have, through these circumstances, a bunch of Saratoga finishing up and Kentucky Derby week and Kentucky Downs starting, Hong Kong starting. You got some huge Octotrion prep races coming up and gigantic European races. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Dick, I appreciate it. And we will be recapping and wading more into the 2021 season for the Hong Kong Jockey Club. And there's, you know, plenty of places to be following. HKJC _racing is the main Twitter feed, but there's international information that we'll feed you as well. And you know, all the different invaluable insights for the people that, you know, so look forward to the 2 days a week involving Sha Tin and Happy Valley. Dick, good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Steve. Bye.
Dick Powell, everybody. And James Scully is here. Where's No Eddie? No Eddie? Okay, so we'll save Eddie for tomorrow. Case, do we got to take the break, I guess? Yeah, we'll take two breaks this morning, the top of both hours. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. I'll get into it with James. And we got Tony to come yet, and Ron Anderson, Nick Tamaro, Gary Palmisano Jr., and maybe Darren. We have no idea. I know Darren's got meetings on both ends of the morning. I think he said he had 9 to 10 and 11 to 12, so there might be a window. Look at the nice, I tell you what, look at you. We're going to compare the new glasses when we get those. Are sharp. Those are nice. Scully, he's married now. It's the new Scully. He's crafting a new polished image. Usually you get married and you become a family guy and you get kind of fat and dumpy. You're going the other direction. Gigi bringing out, this, you know, Gigi's Cupcakes out on Hurstbourne. You ever? All right. Scully next. Stay with us. Hour two from the Downs.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
World's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I want to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Our Pennsylvania breeding program was, of course, impacted by the pandemic. Now, with our country getting back to work, we'd like to again talk about our program, the best in North America. Our breeder awards will remain up to 50% for PA-sired PA breds. Owner bonuses will also stay at up to 40%. Restricted races will again be run at all three PA tracks, and PA Day at the races will return. I'm Brian Sanfratello. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Serious Access.